Ryan felt a nagging doubt begin to creep at the back of his mind. This man was driven by something, but the one-eyed warrior had yet to discern exactly what that something was. They walked on, past the area of habitation, and up toward the main ramp and double set of sectors leading outside. Carell punched in a code and opened the first set, leading them through. He paused before the second set, which opened onto the outside.
Blaster's ready. That means you as well, Ryan Carter, and your people. Every time we go outside, we need to be triple red aware.
Your enemies are just muties and wildlife.
The ghost of a smile flickered across Carell's face.
It's all wildlife out there, friend, and they're all our enemies.
He punched in the final code and pressed a lever, the outer sectors lifting to reveal to the companions the world outside, this particular redoubt. It was hard to tell what the outside was like, as the fluorescent lighting inside made it hard for their eyes to adjust to the gloom outside. Although both JB and Ryan had wrist crons, it was completely impossible for them to tell what time it was. They had no idea whereabouts in the Deathlands they'd landed. JB had hoped that a look at the terrain would give him an idea, as he was usually accurate at judging their general location by the topography of the land. But wherever they were, it seemed to be late evening, and in the cloudless sky overhead, there were stars beginning to show through the twilight.
We need to hurry. The open door will be visible for some way. Come.
The Baron led the party outside and onto the bare rock around. Two of his sect people stayed within the redoubt's boundary, and at a nod from their leader, closed the sect door.
I don't want the inside visible any longer than necessary when it's dark.
He led them across the rock floor to an incline. Looking around, the companions could tell that the redoubt was recessed into the side of a mountain that had a series of graded ridges running up the side. These had been fashioned into a road at one time. There were still traces of blacktop material, but an earth movement, either the earth itself or possibly even the activities of the muty worms, had caused much of the rock to fall away. Carell stopped and pointed over the incline. It began gently, then, after a few yards, fell away into nothing.
See there? Everyone who comes near figures that there was something leading up here and then it all went down. But that ain't true. We only discovered this place by chance. And then because there's another road that moves from the other side of the hill and goes up, then down before it gets to here. I've learned in life, you take the long route and sometimes you get what you want. Whereas you always want the quickest, then you get nothing.
Ryan looked at the road that ran in the opposite direction from the sheltered entrance. It certainly ran up and then out of sight around the side of the mountain. But it was obvious to Carter that the man was talking about something else when he mouthed the last sentence. Something that had to do with the old tech secrets that he believed they could find. JB, meanwhile, was taking a good look around, his eyes adjusting to the gloom, trying to work out where they could be in the Deathlands. The mountain was one of a few scattered for as far as he could see. He could turn 180 degrees and get a good view of what the terrain was like. Scattered mountains, with desert in between. Although the air was cold now, he guessed that it could be mighty hot at the peak of the day. Enough that there was little scrub and vegetation around.
Time to consign these friends to the past. Fate said their time had come, and none of us can argue with that.
The man and woman, carrying one end each of the chilled corpses, moved toward the incline where Carell was standing. Jack and Dean, each grasping the other end of a corpse, followed, not knowing what was expected of them.
Heave-ho!
What?
Toss 'em!
All right.
In turn, each of the corpses was tossed over the side of the incline. Dean lingered to take a look below. It was impossible to see what was at the bottom of the mountain as the darkness and shadow closed in. He looked back toward Carell, an unspoken question forming.
There are muted dogs and jackals down there, other kinds of rodent. They pick the bones clean. Ain't much clue left of us being here. Ain't no chance of any illness spreading. And it feeds the fuckers, and they don't bother us much. Serves a lot of purposes.
Oh yeah, of course.
Carell shrugged and turned back to the sector, walking rapidly up the rock floor to the metal door. The rest of his party followed, with Ryan and his companions following a fraction of a second later. Carell rapped on the door with his knuckles. The door immediately began to rise. The Baron entered while it was still rising to its full height and was greeted by Lonnie, who joined the others at the sect door. The crop-haired man seemed relieved to have left the med lab.
Well, Lonnie,
He's getting something called plasma, and the doctor did something to his shoulder. Gave him some of the drugs. Travis is with him now, but he's asleep and seems to be out of pain. Travis could learn a lot from her.
Good. Your friend Mildred seems to be extremely knowledgeable. Si sounds like he's in good hands.
It is only right, as we were responsible.
Really don't think you should have pointed that out, Doc.
No, the old man's right. But that was appropriate for all, then. Maybe it gave us a chance to learn something about each other. The past is another land.
Carell began to lead them all back down the corridor.
Let's hope we sail away from it then, eh, Ryan?
Yeah, JB, and the tide doesn't wash us back.
They were led into the section of the redoubt that was now used as living quarters by Carell's people. Because of the problems caused by the giant worms, it had been necessary for the community to base all their living operations around the upper two levels, rather than spread themselves across the whole base. Although they used the shower room with caution, they had taken most of the bedding from the dorms and used what had been offices, sec command posts, and surveillance rooms to make new sleeping areas. The kitchens, which were also on one of the lower levels, had also been plundered, and the ovens and microwaves had been taken out and reinstalled in an upper-level area that had once, in the days before Skydark, been used as a briefing room. It was a long room that had plenty of space for the resulting kitchen area. JB and Ryan observed with interest, but kept their peace. Dean, however, wasn't so silent.
Hey, Christy, if they've got those working, then they must have a pretty good idea of how a lot of this stuff works.
Carell stopped and turned to the younger Cotter.
Son, I wish I could say you were right, but I don't think any of us can claim that great of knowledge. Thing is, we've lived down here a while, and when the muties got too keen on using this place as a shortcut to wherever the hell they're headed, then we all kind of figured that we needed to use that as little as possible, which meant taking all the ovens out and getting them here, where it was safe. Only thing we had to leave was the really cold place. Couldn't figure a way of getting the food from that room and keeping it cold. So we had to leave that there and kind of take our chances, like with the showers. But the other stuff... See, we took them apart kind of slow so we could make out where everything went. Then we pulled them up here and figured out which bits of cable looked the same. But as to how it all actually works, who the fuck knows?
Have you tried anything else?
Boy, we live among this shit now. Where we eat and sleep, there's flickering lights and old tech all around. Sometimes some of it gives out, sometimes we try to fix it. I don't know if we do any good. I don't know if we really learn anything from it. But sometimes the lights start again, and sometimes you can still see the outside and some parts of it here on the screens.
I think you do yourself a grave disservice, my dear sir. The air conditioning is still working. There is still water filtered through the plant. You have nearly all the facilities up and running. You should be congratulated.
Well, thank you kindly. But the truth of the matter is that fate has been kind to us since our arrival here. We know how to keep things running, but if we had a real problem, then our feeble knowledge would be sorely stretched. Which is why, my friend, we wish to discover some more secrets of the old tech, and so unlock the way this place runs.
Which is exactly what we'd like to do.
Yeah, we'll talk more about it, but first we should eat. Your friend Mildred will be joining us. She's done a very fine job.
Turning on his heel in a manner that suggested the conversation was now over, Carell moved off, everyone else trailing in his wake. As they walked on, JB turned it over in his mind. Carell and his people had the knowledge to keep some of the plant working well. They would also, presumably, be able to maintain the wags that were stored on the second level. JB hadn't noticed any on their way up, but then the wag bays were always kept apart from the rest of the redoubt because of the hazards of fuel storage. If the wags had been in as good condition as the rest of the redoubt seemed to be, then they'd have good transport and plenty of fuel. From the way in which the party initially opposing them had been armed, it was an obvious conclusion that the armory had been well equipped, and, taking a surreptitious glance at the party around him, they knew well enough how to look after their blasters. He had no doubt that the med lab was well equipped, as Millie would have made her feelings known on the matter to the man Lonnie, and Carell would have felt the rough edge of Millie's tongue secondhand. All in all, they had a good base from which to wage war and the equipment with which to win it. Redoubts this well-equipped and maintained were rare, and anyone who stumbled across them had just gotten lucky. But what did Carell and his people want to do with it? JB had a creeping feeling, tingling at the back of his neck, that the Baron was spoiling for a fight with someone, and the companions had just stumbled into the beginnings of something. With the search for old tech and the arrival of an outside interest, just the excuse and impetus Carell needed.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.